It's Matthew 14, starting at verse 22. So that's page 981. So starting at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all who were ill to him and begged him to let those who were ill just touch the edge of his coat. And all who touched it were healed.
Thanks, Heather. Let's pray and ask God's help as we look at this. Lord God, thank you that you put this passage in the Bible, that these events actually happened, that Jesus did these things. Help us to know what it means for us today as we open your word up together. Amen. So the question I've been wrestling with this week is, what exactly is the impossible thing that Jesus is calling us to do? So I think that the main points of this passage are quite straightforward. Jesus shows he's the Son of God by doing an impossible thing. He walks on water. And then he calls and enables one of his disciples to do an impossible thing. Peter does it. And I think that's a picture for the Christian life. We are called and enabled to do impossible things if we look to Jesus and trust him. And if we lose sight of Jesus, if we look at all the problems around us, we will sink. And at that point, the good news is if we call for help, Jesus saves us. I think in one sense, it's all straightforward. Jesus does impossible stuff. He calls us to do impossible stuff. If we lose sight of him and fail, we get picked up. But what is the impossible thing Jesus is calling us to do today? Because the moment I started thinking about it, there's lots of wrong answers. So one of them is just, if you think that becoming a Christian means that from now on, you know, you can always take a shortcut across the lake. This doesn't work like that, does it? I wouldn't recommend stepping out of a boat in a storm. This isn't a promise of walking on water literally. And nor is it, if I have an ambition in life that seems impossible, I should nonetheless take a step of faith and go and do it. You know, I want an Aston Martin, I can't afford it, but I'll put my life savings down as a deposit, trusting that God is going to give me the rest because I've stepped out the boat. That's not what's being said here. Even quite spiritual sounding goals can often be like this. You know, I see a town which doesn't have many Christians. I want to set up a church. I want there to be revival there. I want thousands of people to become Christians. So I'm going to sell everything I have and move to that place. And surely because I've taken that step of faith, God is going to bring revival. Well, it doesn't always seem to work like that. Stepping out the boat in those ways doesn't actually come with a promise that we're going to walk. If we look at the passage, what's the impossible thing that Jesus calls Peter to do? It is something that Jesus is already doing. So the first thing I notice about it is something that Jesus is already doing that's naturally impossible for us, and that he says, "Come and join me in doing it." So it's not, "I have my plan, Jesus, please provide the power." It's Jesus at work calling us to join him. And so I think the best thing I can think of is that Jesus is calling us to walk in God's ways. Now, it may be that this passage has come at the right time for you, just in terms of God already doing something, putting something on your heart and mind, and you've been wondering whether is this from God and should I be doing it? And suddenly you think, yeah, this is a confirmation, that's fine. But I think for all of us, the impossible thing that we're called to do is to walk in God's ways. What do I mean by that? When human beings were created, they were made to walk in God's ways, acting as God's agents in this world, doing things God's way in this world with his power to help them. They had God with them. They walked in God's ways. They knew God's blessing. In Genesis 1, God holds back the chaos of the waters, making an orderly, peaceful space where human beings would flourish. So God's ways are good ways, but people rejected them. We human beings rejected them. We decided we knew better than God. We wanted to go our own way, not God's way. And so we broke our relationship with God. My choice, my way. And it's made a mess of the world. Disorder and chaos has swept back into the space God made around us and inside of us. People ignoring God's ways, each going their own way, is what leads to the big disasters of wars and famines and environmental destruction. And people ignoring God's way, each going their own way, is what leads to bullying and loneliness and arguments. And it affects our inner being. Ignoring God's ways and going my own way leads to me being deeply unsettled, unrooted, unable to know God's presence and peace. It's like we're in our own boat, navigating life our own way, but actually I can't make progress. There's wind and waves against me. So that's the situation we live in. As we live in a world where people don't naturally live God's way, and where there's disorder, there's mess, there's literal storms and famines and earthquakes in the natural world, but there's also a human storm in the human world of storms, of greed and competition and gossip, and hurtful words and peer pressure and theft and oppression and war. And within us as well, there's this storm of brokenness and sin, these winds that would say, you can't get near God. And so here's the issue. We're made to walk in God's way. We're called to walk in God's way, but it's totally impossible for us to walk in God's way. We're not rightly connected with God. We're overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by forces outside us, overwhelmed actually by the forces inside us, the sin inside us. If you simply say to me, Josh, walk in God's way by yourself, then I'd step out the boat and I'd sink straight away. Safer, we think, to have our own little boat with our own temporary safety and security than to try to walk God's way. Our own little world of water. We know it'll eventually sink, but right now our own little world of our wisdom and our family and our coping mechanisms and our qualifications and what we can sort out, our little haven, stick with that. Don't try to walk God's way in this world. Don't do the things Matthew has been telling us to do, those really countercultural things like having pure hearts and loving your enemies and not worrying about tomorrow because God's got tomorrow, and doing your religion for God and not people, and being willing to die for following Jesus, all that sort of stuff. Sounds like we're going to sink if we attempt it. And then Jesus comes along. And he lives in this world of mess and chaos. And he is there when the storm comes, but he walks on the water. He walks on the water, physically, literally there, but also through the storms of this world, he walks on it. He doesn't get overwhelmed by it. He doesn't fail, he doesn't sink. He walks God's ways because he has the connection with God that we were made for. He walks God's ways perfectly. It's amazing enough that God should turn up and show himself like that. But there are two other things that are really amazing. The amazing thing, one, is that we're called to follow Jesus walking in God's ways. It's impossible for us. It's not impossible for him. And he says, come and walk this way with me. Come and follow me. Come with me and you won't sink. This is grace. This is undeserved love. The God of the universe, whose ways we have rejected and ignored, comes down to us to invite us to walk back to him and to live with him. Take courage. It's I. Come. What's impossible for us, he makes possible. He takes the guilt and the shame of sin that weighs us down, that stops us from connecting to God. He takes that guilt and shame away. Actually, he's the one who takes the storm force of wrath and judgment in our place on the cross. He breaks that power. And he breaks the power of sin addiction in our hearts. We've all got this desire to go our way, not God's way, to have our hands on the steering wheel of our lives and keep God out. And Jesus comes to break that power of sin addiction so that we can trust God and let him have the steering wheel. Let him steer our lives into ways that seem impossible. And Jesus gives us the Spirit to enable us to walk God's ways through the waves and winds of a sinful, broken world, to enable us to persevere through opposition and challenge. We know that we are loved. We know that we matter. We know that we have a secure and glorious eternity. When Peter got down out of the boat, he walked on the water and came towards Jesus. That's amazing. That's amazing. But we are all called to get out of the boat of human control and human ways and step onto the stormy waters of a sinful, broken world, trusting God to hold us, trusting God to keep us afloat, trusting Jesus to guide us. We're given the gift of walking with God in God's ways as he intended. The storms are still there, but they cannot separate us from God's love and power. We can walk in God's ways. So that's amazing thing one. Amazing thing two is that when we fail, Jesus reaches out and catches us. So sometimes we don't look at Jesus. Sometimes we don't go his way. And when we fail, the great news is that Jesus reaches out and catches us. Verse 30, when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" It seems odd, doesn't it? You'd have thought the first step would be the scariest one. Like, out of the boat, onto the water, never walked on water before, I've always sunk when I've tried this. Oh, it worked. So you just thought the next step would be easier. And the next step, you've got a sort of track record of success. But his attention drifts. He starts to take the supernatural work of God that was so exciting the first step for granted and starts to look around at the problems, the vast forces that make it humanly impossible to walk on Waterloom Large. He sees the storm. He sees the wind. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He's filled with fear. He starts to sink. Peter is overwhelmed by what he sees in this world so that he can no longer walk in God's ways. And isn't that us? We trusted Jesus. We took the risk of walking his way. We found it worked, that we got to walk with God in this world. But what was amazing to us at first has become mundane, even forgotten. And now we look around us at the fears and concerns of life. There's just so much to do. There's so much opposition. There's so much need. There's so much brokenness. And so we get paralyzed by all that. And we take our eyes off Jesus, fix our eyes on the problems. And we start to sink. We start to say, it's not, walking God's way isn't going to work. It's too risky to do. I'd rather be back in the boat and in control than walking God's ways. So it's an immense relief to us to see how Jesus treats Peter. I think, given the sort of what has happened, he would have been justified in saying to Peter, "You idiot, sort it out. Come on. If you won't trust me, you're going to lose your walking on water privileges and you're going to have to swim your own way back to the boat." But when Peter loses faith and when at that moment he realizes he needs Jesus, Jesus reaches out. It's not that Jesus stands further away and says, "You've got to try harder." He comes close and he catches him. And he brings him back up and he walks with him. There is challenge, you know, what happened to your faith? Why did you doubt? But the challenge comes after the rescue, that Jesus is just there as the one who catches us. And that's our reassurance. As we get out of the boat and follow Jesus, we're not called to a tightrope walk without a safety net, where the slightest slip to left or right will leave us off the rope forever. Jesus is there. We're meant to walk following him, we're meant to walk to keeping our eyes on him. If we've lost sight of him, if we've started to sink, we call out and he picks us up. Walking on water, walking in God's ways is something we can keep doing and growing in despite our days of doubts and sinking. That doesn't mean we should be careless about walking in God's ways. It's an immense privilege to walk in God's ways. Jesus died to enable us to walk in God's ways. And also it's horrible to feel the doubts overwhelm us and feel like we're sinking. So while we want to be realistic about the winds and the waves, about the brokenness and sin in this world and inside us still, let's fix our eyes on Jesus and follow him. Different people in this room have different places they're at. Some people, it's actually, I need to get out the boat. I need to trust Jesus and go his way for the first time. Some Some feel like they're up to their necks in water and they've lost sight of Jesus, and the waves and the wind seem very large and powerful. I need to call out to Jesus, look to Jesus again, call out to him, know that he picks you up. Some, walking with Jesus, it's not that you're sinking yet, but you're starting to just take it for granted, to forget what an amazing miracle it is that sinful human beings are allowed to walk with their God in his ways. All of us need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So we're going to have a little bit of quiet, and then we're going to sing a psalm which encourages us to look to him who hears us. So let's have a minute or so of quiet to just reflect on what God's been saying to us before the band leads us in our final song.